You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Ready to stand out? Army ROTC prepares you not only as a college student, but as a strong leader, allowing you to earn the rank of second lieutenant. You will be eligible for full tuition merit-based scholarships and develop leadership skills essential for your future. Start strong and enhance your college experience. Visit your campus Army ROTC representative today. To find out how you can earn up to a full tuition scholarship, visit goarmy.com/podcast to locate your closest ROTC program today. Army officers inspire strength in others. Paid for by the United States Army.
A new year means it's time for a new home network that can keep up. With Cox Internet, you have the speed and coverage your family needs to stay connected. You'll enjoy Cox's fiber-based hybrid network with options for fast upload and download speeds. And if your household has lots of connected devices, panoramic Wi-Fi may be the perfect fit thanks to its additional control features. Plus, with advanced security on panoramic Wi-Fi, you'll know each connected device is securely protected 24/7. A whole world of connectivity is yours with Cox Internet. Learn more at cox.com.
Ready to stand out? Army ROTC prepares you not only as a college student, but as a strong leader, allowing you to earn the rank of second lieutenant. You will be eligible for full tuition merit-based scholarships and develop leadership skills essential for your future. Start strong and enhance your college experience. Visit your campus Army ROTC representative today. To find out how you can earn up to a full tuition scholarship, visit goarmy.com/podcast to locate your closest ROTC program today. Army officers inspire strength in others. Paid for by the United States Army.
Not to be a backseat driver, but can you say for sure you got the best monthly payment possible on your auto loan? Could it be that you might have gotten a better deal by shopping the loan at a few places and have a lower car payment? Next time, before you go car shopping, visit Communication Federal Credit Union first. Our auto loan experts will find you a perfect loan and get you the lowest monthly payment we can. Communication Federal, your auto loan experts. Restrictions apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
In uncertain times, we could use someone to lean on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma will stand by you with plan options to fit your budget. If you've recently lost your job, had a baby, or moved, you can still get the healthcare coverage you and your family need. Financial help may be available for those who qualify. Call 855-452-BLUE or visit hereforyouok.com to see if you're eligible to enroll. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a Mutual Legal Reserve Company.
This is Derek's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
After the third time jump-starting my car, I finally realized my battery was dying. So I stopped by O'Reilly to have it checked. They tested it right there in the parking lot. It was bad, real bad. But they helped me find the right battery for my car and even installed it for free. Now my car starts like new.
There's nothing more predictable in life than the unexpected. Lightning will always strike. Hail will fall on roofs. Fortunately, there's AAA. AAA has been helping members stay prepared for over 100 years. So when unusual storms, fallen debris, or sudden leaks happen, you'll be covered. Check, check, and check. Get the home and auto insurance you need by talking with a AAA insurance agent today. Visit AAA.com/insurance or stop by your local AAA store.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Absolutely.
You know what we gotta do?
Boga party.
Boga! Boga!
Boga! Boga! Boga! Boga! Boga! Boga! Boga! Boga! Boga! Boga! Boga! Boga! Boga! Boga! Boga! Boga! Boga!
killed every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Otherwise known as Chat Lives Matter Day, right here on KLR Radio. I'm one half of the crew, Mr. Rick Robinson. He's the other half of the crew, Mr. Ordy Packard. He just got done hanging out behind the Circle K. Coming to a mom near you soon. So I only have one question. Who the fuck decided we needed a fucking course language thing? Just curious.
I actually think that might go back to when we were doing Mojo 5.0.
Yeah, no.
And it would just kind of stuck. Because I remember I used to intro, before we had Leslie record it.
I used to do it live. Yeah,
you used to
do it O'Reilly style. Fuck it, we'll do it live. Anyway, right. But yeah, no. And just joking, because yeah. Actually, I've gotten to the point where we use coarse language so often that I'll even play it during the breaks now in case people are come in like in the middle of something.
Yeah, we should do. We should just change it to. The following program may contain adult or family-friendly language. Listener discretion is for everyone.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
I mean, every show we're dropping F-bombs on it. Yeah, actually, you know what? No, I take that back. I think Jeff's shows are the only ones that are mostly clean.
Damn. Well, Jeff's an alien. You know, can't expect an alien to understand free speech. But yeah.
Oh, he gets... Yeah, it's... It's the idioms that throw him off.
The funny thing is, when Stacy and I first started working together, she was all, you know, got to keep an FCC just in case and blah, blah, blah. Now every morning she's...
Al's clean too, yeah.
She's dropping the F-bombs before I am, and I'm like, I have corrupted you. I am so sorry. but that's the thing, you know? I mean, I can clean it up, like, if I know I'm going to be on the station or something. I mean, I know how to do it the right way. But, I mean, why? I mean... I don't really see the point in it, especially with as crazy as everything's gotten. I've gotten to the point where I use expletives as punctuation, because it's just kind of how I feel right now, because everything is nuts. I mean, hell, I just like the title of the show today. You know, Joe Biden basically threw a Supreme Court justice out before he even announced.
Right.
I mean, dude has started talking about it behind closed doors. You know, I may go ahead and step down now because of how the midterms are looking. Next thing you know, the White House is like, yep, yeah, he's leaving. Dude's like, if it were me at this point, I'd be like, no, fuck you, I'm staying until after the election now. I hope you can carry it. I'm just that kind of person.
Yeah, he's mad.
Dude, I would be pissed. I mean, you know, you get to the culmination of your career, you're actually talking about, you know, trying to do the party a favor, and the next thing you know, the guy that's called the shots is like, yeah, he's on his way out, and we're going to make sure I'm going to keep that promise, and it's going to be an African-American woman in the seat. And next thing you know, everybody's like, oh my God, he's going to move Kamala Harris to the Supreme Court. Well...
Yeah, we were talking about that at the end of Toxic Masculinity. If you're just joining us, we had PolitiBunny on Toxic Masculinity with us this month, and it was hilarious. And but yeah, we were just talking about that, and you know, doing a little bit of theory crafting of the reason why Kamala would take it is because she knows how unpopular she is. She's never going to win another election, and that's a job for life.
No, I mean it makes sense. Except for the African-American part, because she's not.
No, she's not. And that pisses liberals off. Making the distinction between liberals and leftists. That pisses liberals off when you point that out. She is, too, an African-American. She's Jamaican, you tard.
She is a person of color. This is true. But she is not African-American because she's not from America.
When she first joined the Senate, she joined the Indian-American caucus. Not the Black American Caucus.
So she was in there with Chief White Forked Tongue.
Different Indian.
I know. It just had to be done. Anyway. But yeah, so it's been an interesting news day, you know, because it was kind of, you know, things are starting to slow back down at work again because the holidays are over and everybody's called in to find out where things are that they need, blah, blah, blah. So, I'm just sitting here, and I keep pulling up things, and all of a sudden, you know, the Secretary of State is, like, blowing smoke up everybody's ass and talking about this sternly worded letter that basically invited Putin out for ice cream. And then, yeah. Then next thing I know, the Fed chief is on trying to blow smoke up everybody's ass and talk about how good everything is, and that's why we're going to start doing this and this and this with the interest rates. And I'm just like, I just can't with these people. I mean, even Biden on his own Twitter account fucking lied his ass off yesterday, tweeting about how much better the economy's doing and how the unemployment rate's the lowest it's ever been. Guess what? There's so many people that have been on the rolls for so long and not having a job, they have fallen off.
And see, again, that is another trait of the Obama administration. People were on unemployment, so it took him many years for the unemployment numbers to improve during his administration, and it was because they fell off the rolls. And that was when they extended it to, I think, 56 weeks under his administration, rather than the usual, you get like 25 or something. But they extended it to 56 weeks, and then people were still falling off the rolls.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. They've been on unemployment so long that now they're starting to fall off. So, yeah, the numbers are being padded all over the place. Then you have the people that during the Trump era, when the economy was doing good, they took themselves off of the employment rolls and actually started businesses, and they're still trying to keep them going. So, yeah, of course the numbers are starting to look good. But it's not because things are doing so much better. You know how I know things aren't doing better? Because everywhere you look, there's help wanted signs. Everywhere! That tells you that we don't have enough people to fill the jobs. And now we have this problem in America where people feel like they're too good to take fucking jobs. I hate that. Especially if you don't have any experience. And I get it. We live in a world now where an 8-year-old can critique Christmas presents on fucking YouTube and make $8 million in a year. So I get why nobody wants to take a job at McDonald's. But that's not always going to work. I've been doing this for 15 years and I can barely scrape by.
Yeah, it's not everybody can pull that off. I mean, it's easy to get I don't want to say it's easy. You got to work your ass off to get a few hundred followers on YouTube, but getting it to where you can live off of it, a lot of people don't want to make that commitment.
And that's just it. They don't realize the work that comes into it, because you see somebody that gets lucky with it, and then you're like, oh, I can do that too, and then you don't get lucky with it, and then you're in it for like 6 months. I mean, I went through the same thing with my now ex-wife. She had this great side business idea. I helped her build it from the ground up. We spent weeks putting it together. I had the team that we use help with all the social media and everything else. And 2 months in, she's like, yeah, this is too much work. I'm done. I'm like, I fucking hate you right now, because if you were a client, I would have charged you like $5,000 for all the work we put in. And that's no lie, because, I mean, we did graphics design, the whole thing, and I'm like, you know, if you were a client, this is like $5,000 worth of work. You're full of shit. No, I'm telling you, in between the building your social media accounts, the graphics design, all of the above, everything that we did, that would have been about $5,000. And you quit after 2 months. And that's when she decided she started not liking me. Anyway, well, actually, she decided that a long time ago, but that's a story for another day. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, that's been my experience for the day. I got to actually pay attention to the news and needed duct tape the entire day, pretty much, because I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And then, of course, you know, start listening to some of the commentary, because, you know, I had to check out Waters' new show, because I haven't been able to check it out yet, because I haven't had time. I like that kid. I've always liked that kid. So I'm glad to see that he finally got a shot at primetime. I hope he does well. So far, his numbers are pretty good. He kicked everybody's ass on CNN, which isn't hard, really. But, I mean, he even beat out him.
Right, I was just saying. I mean, that's a bar you can't limbo under.
Well, I mean, he even beat out MSNBC in his time slot. So, I mean, and it was actually by...
See, now that's good.
It was actually by a pretty wide margin. They had 1.5 million. He had 3.7. The guy in his time slot in CNN, and I don't remember who it was, had like, 500,000? One of them was so low, all they put was a dash.
What's his time slot?
He's on, I think he's on 7 Eastern, I think, so it's like the very beginning of primetime.
Okay. Because I was going to say, if it was 9, that's when Acosta got his ass handed to him. For his democracy and turmoil or whatever thing.
Yeah, he was up against Hannity.
That would be hilarious. That'd be hilarious getting your ass kicked by somebody who just had a new show this week.
Well, I mean, technically, if you look at the numbers, even though they were in a different spot, he did still kick his ass on an inaugural show because he had, like, six times the numbers. Acosta had, like, 512,000 people listening. For CNN, that ain't shit. That's, like, you take the airports out, that's zero.
But they don't even have that deal anymore.
Maybe
think about that.
CNN is
free on every cable provider and satellite provider in the United States.
Yeah.
Fox isn't. I'm still on Dish. Are you still on Dish?
I don't have
Fox on my package.
Yeah, I do, but that's only because I haven't dropped it any lower yet. Only because I've discovered most of the places that I thought I was going to be able to get it for free, it's like, please log in with your provider. I'm like, motherfucker. Even like I when you were talking about like the NBC app and how it had all the portals, it does. But you can only watch, like, one episode of something before it says, do you have a cable provider? Fuck.
Right.
Fuck.
I just say no.
Yeah, but then you have to, like, watch videos and shit to get credits, and it ain't worth all that. I'm like, eh, no.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not doing all that. But anyway, honestly, you know, we joke about it all the time that CNN's about to go on a fire sale, and I really would love to be the guy that throws down a dollar just to see if they'll bite.
Right. Like Newsweek.
Yeah, and the funny thing is we were talking about it in the station, I think it was in the station chat that we have on Twitter, and they were talking about how, you know, we should keep so-and-so on. I think it was Brian. And I was like, no, keep them all on, because then we can retire. And I was like, because we can actually, you know, physically shock them anytime they lie. We would make enough, we would have the highest ratings anywhere, and we could all retire to KLR Radio Island. Although, we would have a lot of hosts that look like marshmallows for the first couple of months. Until they figured out, if I lie, I'm going to get shot.
Right.
No más pantalones.
See, I must have missed that conversation.
I
miss a lot.
I think it was in the green room, I think. Yeah, you've been missing a lot since you've been getting used to this new gig.
Yeah.
But then again, so. I can't say much because I was pretty much AWOL for 18 months, so I can't say anything.
Okay, so you know what? We were talking about this last time, and I think we were talking about it on Culture Shift, too. Ron just mentioned in the chat he's loving his Roku stick, and he likes it better than the Fire Stick. You know, I might have to... What's the basic run in chat for that? I mean, what's the basic run on the Fire Stick for that? Roku stick. Jesus Christ.
I'm not sure, but we can
wait for Ron to reply. So, yeah, because, I mean, I might, you know, now that I've got a free, well, $30, shit, that's pretty good. I'm gonna lean that way. I'm going to have to check into that. Since all my TVs are Amazon-enabled, I have the available port. Giggity. So how you doing? What are you up to?
Well, I actually tried. What's with Rick? I actually tried to pull up what was supposed to be a comparison of them, but it didn't actually work. Amazon, probably because it's Amazon, is selling a Roku streaming kit for like $44.95. So I'm sure they're probably marking it up because it's competition. So yeah, fuck them. Let's sell it for 50% over. What's going on with me is I'm starting to try to get back into the whole, you know, doing radio all the time thing. And then yesterday, all of my accesses weren't working, so they forced me to take a personal day because they're like, well, since you can't drive in because you let somebody borrow your car, you're going to have to use your own time. And I'm like, that's bullshit. Why am I having to use my own time when it's your shit's broken? So, yeah, they weren't real happy about that. But then, so today, they at least got part of my accesses working again. Because I actually skipped the show this morning because they were making it sound like I was going to have to drive in today. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to fucking drive in. I've been in the office in almost 2 years. I don't want to go back. And then right as I was, you know, dressed and throwing my shoes on, I got a text that said they figured out one of the access issues. So I'm like, sweet. Pants came off. Shorts went back on. Life is good.
Yeah, I was wondering what happened this morning. I was logging in and
Well, honestly, I woke up with a migraine to begin with, but I think it's because I could barely sleep because I was stressed out about having to go into the office because I haven't been in the office in almost 2 years. And then so I went ahead and I was going to try to do the show anyway, at least part of it. So I didn't tell Stacy we were going to probably have to bail a little early. And then I got up when my alarm went off and I just had a migraine and I could not get to go away. And I'm like, you know what? I love you guys, but if I'm going to have to go deal with people and actually sit somewhere where they can hear me, I'm going to have to get some more sleep because otherwise I'm going to get fired. Because the nice thing about working by myself is if a customer gets on my nerves, I have the ability to mute myself and then I can say whatever I want and they can't hear me. But if there's people around me and I say those things, I can still get fired. It's just how it works. But yeah, so anyway, yeah. So that was where I was this morning. Woke up with a migraine, thought I was going to have to go into the office and managed to get lucky because they fixed at least one of my accesses. Part of it is they're trying to switch over to virtual machines, and half the time the virtual machines are like, yeah, we know here. No virtual machine here. Call Mr. Jeff. Yeah, so anyway. So other than that, you know, just finally starting to feel a little bit better. Voice is still meh. There's times when it's good and times when it's not, but it doesn't help that I talk 8 to 14 hours a day. So yeah, that's never good. And I'm still debating on trying to find a way to start doing some contract work of some kind so I can make the day job go away and start focusing more here. Because I just feel like this is where I want to be able to devote my time, but everything else takes up so much of it that this has become an afterthought, and I'm just like, I can't keep doing this way. Because this is what I want to do, and I got to figure out how to make it happen.
Well, I mean, you got to work. I mean, it's a fun job. I mean, it's still a hobby, and so yeah. But yeah, I mean, getting this going where we could all just kind of retire and do talk radio all day. That'd be cool.
That would be nice. That would definitely be nice.
Yeah, okay, Rod says the cheap player is $25, but the 4K version is $40. Why wouldn't you go? I don't even have a 4K TV. I would still get the 4K because I future-proof everything I buy. You know, it's like, I mean, I've got a couple TVs that are 4K, but the one I would be putting it on isn't 4K.
Yeah.
So, but still.
Yeah, so Amazon has a nice little Roku Ultra bundle that has, like, the streaming media player 4K HD HDR Premium with JBL Bluetooth headphones and a Ghost Manta 4K HDMI cable for, like, $109. So I guess if you're wanting to listen to stuff quietly, that would be cool. But anyway.
Except that Jeff guy, keep cracking the whip on him. Yes, Jeff, how's that schedule coming?
Yeah, but, well, the thing about it is you can't really crack the whip on the Jeff guy because the Jeff guy likes it when you crack the whip.
Oh, yeah, we learned that earlier.
Just saying. Oh, speaking of cracking the whip, was it Acosta that stepped in it this week? I think it was Acosta. Wasn't he the one that talked about still having marks on his back from Trump?
Yes. Yes.
I'm just like, I cannot believe he did not get drugged by every kind of, like, civil rights group out there. Because that is, like, the whitest thing you could possibly fucking say.
Right. That is... Yeah, I mean, okay.
I almost added him and said, your name is Toby, but I figured I would get banned.
Yeah, that'd get you suspended. But, I mean... it's amazing that they don't come out. I mean, it's really got to be bad when you get, like, I mean, you know you fucked up when the ADL or the NAACP comes out against, CNN or an MSNBC host, because they really got to fuck up because they know that, you know, they forgive a lot. And, yeah, because they lean the right political way. And, I mean, they cringe, but it's like, you know, we're not going to fight that fight. Yeah, you know, otherwise we'll never get on there as a panelist again or whatever. And, oh, yeah, that was a bad one.
It was terrible. And he's like, yeah, so Biden called Ducey a dumbass, but I'm the one that still has marks on my back from Trump. And I was like, oh my God, dude, are you serious right now? I just can't with these people anymore. The dude has been out of office now for over a year, and they still cannot stop talking about him. That's like The View. One of the hosts on The View had said something, and I don't even remember what it was because I don't have the article in front of me. And all the other three harpies could do was keep referencing Trump, but she only just looked at him and said, "Hey, he hasn't been in office now for like 13 months, guys. Just so you know."
Right. I mean, he can't hurt you anymore.
It's been a minute, so stop trying to show me on the Trump doll where Trump hurt you, because it's over. Anyway, I don't know.
But that's every day.
I think it's going to stay every day, because they're just terrified that he's going to run again, which really I hope is not the case, because, yeah, no.
He did his job. He got the left to expose themselves. You know, and he can step back with a, you know, I mean, if you want to take something that how he really changed America and the world is that all pretense has now been removed. And because the media got into this cycle of hyperbole where they have to constantly, like you just said, with, you know, Jim Acosta saying he's still got the marks on his back from working, you know, they just keep having to go over the top with their rhetoric, and it's alienating more and more of the middle America, the general, you know, just the people who want to do their jobs, go home, be left alone, pay a little bit of their taxes just to keep the government off their back, and, you know, just be left alone. And when the media keeps doing this over the top bullshit, you know, Joe America is just sitting there going, I know that's a lie. I mean, come on, guys, knock it off. And then they tune out, and then they tune out politically, and then these are their semi-reliable voters. You know, as I often talk about my neighbor who just votes Democrat because that's what she's always done. That's what her parents did, and, you know, she's in retirement age, and she just that's what we do, you know. But she still complains about everything that the Republican complains about, the border and taxes and all. But she just, you know, just votes reliably votes Democrat. I can tell she's getting annoyed and frustrated, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, everybody's starting to get frustrated with it. And now you have this this book that's come out that's kind of outlining all the things that I've been trying to tell people for the last 15 years about how, honestly, you know, as far as the establishment, there really is no distinction between the parties because they all want the same thing. And, you know, at this point, they might as well, you know, start changing some of the anagrams, because instead of it being the NAACP, it might as well be the NAACP, because everybody's starting to bow at the feet of China. I mean, there's all this stuff coming out about all the money that the Biden administration has made off of China so far. They're up to, like, what, $31 billion, I think, so far? And all of those deals are brokered by Hunter Biden. Then you have Jeb Bush. You know, the Bush family's been feeding at the Chinese trough for quite some time, apparently. So have the Clintons. So this is something that is across party lines. And the simple fact of the matter is, we got in bed with China because we thought that our way of life would start influencing theirs, and it's the exact opposite. Their way of life is starting to influence ours because everybody wants to get a hold of their money.
Well, that's the long game that they play, though. That's, you know, they, oh, yeah, we'll take a little bit of capitalism. You know, we'll make these, you know, free trade zones, and you can get your cheap labor, you know, cheap slave labor, but it'll make it look like, you know, and in return, you know, we own all the R&D and all, you know, everything that comes through. We're just going to, you know, and that's how the Chinese think. They think, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, 100 years out, where, you know, we're just like, ooh, sweet, we get cheap labor. Because Mexico's getting uppity and unreliable because they found the drug trade is really useful. And so, yeah, China, woohoo. Oh, fuck, we just gave it all away.
Yep. Well, the funny thing is, they learned nothing from when, you know, when democracy came to the Soviet Union. Because the same things have been happening there. Nobody really talks about it. They took all of our money, we started rebuilding all of their infrastructure, and they are basically set now to be able to have their entire military rebuilt in 6 weeks, because they fired from the bottom up, not the top down.
Right.
So now, you have the Biden administration that is, you know, inviting Putin for ice cream and trying to act like we're talking tough when we're basically just like, yeah, you can do whatever you want in Ukraine, but don't go any further. Good plan. Good plan. Does anybody remember when everybody swore up and down it was going to be Donald Trump that had us into World War III?
Right.
thinking if we don't get this guy out of office pretty damn quick, yeah, it's not going to be. It wouldn't have. It didn't. It wasn't Trump. I just.
You know, that flipped around quick too, because it was like, okay.
Where'd you go?
Sorry, I had to mute. I was coughing. So it was like, okay. I think it was like Friday. I'm like, okay, so where's all this talk? We're going to be going to war. And then it was like Friday afternoon. I'm like, holy shit. He's actually going to do it. So it was like, but it wasn't like, you know, anything he did. This is, again, you know, the administration not telling President Silver Alert, the cauliflower in chief, what's going on. Because it's like he's out there saying one thing. Meanwhile, they're sending the SEALs over to the Ukraine. And I got to remember, it's not the Ukraine. It's just Ukraine. I got to drop the from it. I don't know when I picked up that habit. But, you know, it's like, you know, the Iraq and...
Well, you know, that became a thing when you started ad-libbing the commercial.
Oh, okay.
My son was over in the Iraq pitching a tent.
Son was in the Army.
Oh, you know, honestly...
That was still my greatest achievement, was making Lou think that she hit the wrong button. We were in commercial when I was joking about it before him.
We really do need to sit down and record the parody of that and just actually get it all the way done, because that commercial actually doesn't pay anything anymore, so it wouldn't be worth it to replace it with a parody.
It doesn't? No. Grantham doesn't pay us anymore?
No, actually, the company that we were using those with went out of business. I just use them as placeholders while I keep trying to find other ones. And then we started getting money from Spreaker anyway, so I was like, you know what? They'll still work as filler.
You know, no, we do have to do the parody of that, because if Grantham isn't paying us anymore, but that still is that's a KLRN meme now.
But yeah, that's why it would be perfect, because they're not actually. I mean, the whole company that was doing those went out of business, but that's because they realized their business model sucked. Because yeah,
is that the one that does this, that we get the Subway commercials that they don't even have roast beef anymore for?
No, that I pulled from our Spreaker account. It was running in front of one of the shows.
Okay,
but that's actually what I've started doing, because I've noticed, and I hope they're not listening. But if I pull current commercials and run them inside the shows, we get double the ad revenue.
Because
they have a code of some kind, I guess, that they can read when they run, and so eventually, if they're too old, it doesn't count anymore. But I've noticed when I've started rotating newer ones in, our ad revenue goes up, and I'm like, you know, I need to start staying on top of this about once a month, I think.
Sure.
Until they figure it out, and then they're like, what are you doing? You didn't say I couldn't rerun them. I already have rights to use the ads. What are you talking about?
Yeah, my favorite ad that we run on the network is on Jeff's show with Olivia Munn. I think it's for the ASPCA or some pet thing. I don't fucking know. Yeah. But it's Olivia Munn.
Yeah, I mean, we have some PSAs that I don't use very often, because they do get kind of cranky about having language. So I'm like, yeah, we won't really be using
that. Oh, the one from the ad council is such a downer. The one with you can hear the airplane in the background.
It's not an airplane.
It's an airplane. You can hear the airplane in the background.
No, it's a guy playing motorboat in the bedroom. just play it. Anyway, I hope not, since that's the commercial about dads. That would be terrible. Anyway. Oh, man. But, yeah, I mean, you know, like, there was one, because it was back when you and Fu were using them as a charitable thing, where you guys would, like, pick a charity of the month, and you guys did, like, the children's...
The cancer. Swear jar?
Yeah, the swear jar, and you guys were doing, like, the kids' cancer hospital that I can't think of the name of. So I went and signed
up... St. Jude's?
Yeah, St. Jude's. I went and signed up to try to get their PSAs. They were like, if you're going to use our ads because you've been approved, there can be no foul language. And I'm like, well, we're not running into this show.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah, but we can't. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how much that has affected, especially with FUBAR. You know, it's like we were talking about at the top of the show, that's where the, you know, the disclaimer came from. And then also the fact that FUBAR left Mojo 5.0 was for swearing. We can't run St. Jude ad because of swearing.
I mean,
you know, fuck it.
Pretty much. I mean, but the funny thing is, now we have people bringing ads to us, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, still got to talk to Dr. Squatch, see if they want to run.
We really do.
Yeah.
Well, there's no such thing as foul language or bird talk, sir, because birds aren't real.
Birds aren't real.
So anyway, what's going on with you? I've been doing a lot of talking.
You know, I'm just starting a new job and using new muscles with it, and the job isn't difficult. It's physically demanding in flashes. The rest of the time, it's just driving, seeing. Thank you for that. MD just posted Olivia Munn in the Princess Leia slave outfit.
Oh,
I mean, need a minute.
My God.
Yeah. Thanks, MD. I get to see a lot of the area, and I get to go cool places that nobody else has access to with it. So it's fun. I'm digging it.
This is in honor of the picture in the chat. Giggity, 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 let's have sex. Just saying.
Yeah.
If that wasn't a giggity moment, I don't know what one is. Holy cow. Anyway, I'm kind of distracted now.
Yes, a whole lot of Princess Leia bikini pictures, or one with a whole bunch of different women in it.
I'm gonna. Anyway.
I remember when they did that bit on Friends, too.
I remember that.
So. But, yeah. You know, if you're trying to be PC, it's Princess Leia in the gold bikini, but we all know what it was.
We all know what it was. Yeah, I was actually a late comer to Friends. I never really got into it on first run. My daughter started watching it a few months ago, and I started sitting down and watching it with her, and I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm older now and I can relate, but I was younger when it came out, and I didn't really relate to it back then, and now I'm like, you know, this is actually kind of funny in a campy kind of way, because it's still not real.
See, Ming-Na Wen has a beautiful smile in the Princess Leia slave bikini. But, it's when it was out, I didn't catch it until the last couple seasons.
Is that who I think it is? And she can actually smile?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen her smile. Just saying.
No, that's the joke. And apparently she smiles in the most recent episode of Book of Boba Fett, even though it's Boba Fett's not in it. It's really just a Mandalorian episode. I'm getting this information. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. So
I haven't watched this week yet either. Yep. I need to. I watched the previous one, and I was really hoping that somebody had like photoshopped the freaking funky looking speeders in there, and they didn't. And I'm like, you know, I just don't know. I don't know what the purpose of those were, other than to annoy people. Because yeah, I mean, I can get where they came from, because if you've ever played the MMO, they look remarkably like some of the speeders that you can get when your character reaches a certain level, but at the same time, I was like, why did you have to EA my show, dude? It didn't need it.
Right.
It didn't need it. Get your EA out of my Disney. It's bad enough that it's Disney now.
Ugh. Right.
Anyway. But yeah, no, that's honestly, and you know, it's just a little thing, but one of the biggest things that I didn't like of this newest round of movies is, you know, the classic opening, it didn't have it, and I'm just like, well, at least they didn't do the Disney I Love You thing, but still, I missed the fanfare.
The older ones are 20th Century Fox, that's why.
I know.
Even though Fox is now part of Disney. But Disney left Fox to become Lucas, and that's when they started doing the THX intro, and they started phasing out the 20th Century intro.
Yeah, I know. I still miss it, though, because it's always, honestly, half the time, when back in the day when you had the scrolling cable guide and you couldn't hit a button and see what was coming on. I remember back in the day, half the time I'd be on one of the pay channels and that would come on and be like, ooh, is it Star Wars? And yeah, at least 80% of the time it wasn't. But then there was that 20% of the time where you were like, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and you're like, oh my god, HBO's playing Star Wars, I'm gonna sit down. Anyway.
Good day. The good old days.
Yeah, back when if you wanted to see what was on, you had to actually sit on a channel and watch it scroll till you got to where you wanted in the right time, and you're like, oh, that's what's on. Okay. Yeah, I remember thinking that was the coolest thing ever, too, because I didn't have to open up the newspaper TV guide anymore. Now you can just hit a button and, like, it tells you everything that's on. I'm just like,
what?
Kids nowadays, they got no idea.
Yeah, I was like, remember having to call for your local theater to find out what was playing, and if you missed it, you had to wait for it. You either had to call back or listen to the loop again.
Yep. And I remember.
So, okay.
Go ahead.
Really quick in chat, if the rumors are true and Gina Carano does come back to Mandalorian or Book of Boba Fett, you know, if she does, because there are rumors that she was on the set, you know, and we talked about this last year. And Doomcox mentioned it, and a couple others, is that if you're fired from a studio, you don't go back on the set. You know, it's not like you're just welcome to go hang out with some friends and see what's going on. So, because you can disrupt a multi-million-dollar project with that. So, the fact that she was seen on set and the, hey, I'm just going to go see some friends, that story doesn't fly. It's widely believed that she will be showing up in an episode of Book of Boba Fett soon.
Boba Fett, where? Oh, sorry.
Right. So, if that happens, I will forgive Disney Plus enough to resubscribe. I won't watch the Marvel woke bullshit, but I will resubscribe.
Oh, man.
So, I will have stood my ground. I said I will not come back as long as Gina Carano does not have a job there, and I will have stuck to that. I also said unless Kathleen Kennedy's fired, but there's a lot of word going around too that she is effectively fired. So she has no projects there anymore except for Indy 5, and that's gotten pushed way the fuck out. Like critically reshooting the entire movie way the fuck out.
Yeah, they're trying to phase her out. Couldn't happen to a nicer person.
Yeah. And Al's back!
Yay! Al's back from driving across campus.
Our pal Al.
Welcome back, sir! Welcome back!
So. That's what's going on there.
You live in Michigan, Al. Of course it's cold out there.
Although it's what not, is this, Hot Springs? Not hardly.
Although it's not much warmer here. It's actually trying to snow. I'm kind of mad about that. I'm like, damn it, we haven't had any real snow yet this year, and I don't want none.
And I hope my new plant didn't bring these gnats in. Anyway,
new plant, you say?
Yeah, I got a. I actually put Twitter to the task of finding out what it is, and it's a something tornado. It's a very unique plant, indigenous to Africa and Asia.
Oh my God, you're bringing in a plant not indigenous to the area, and it's going to take over your whole house.
Yeah. Hopefully it's a really cool plant. So,
until you wake up in the middle of the night and it's staring at you going, feed me, Orty.
Thanking you, Seymour. You know, okay, I watched a thing on that, and I know Jeff watched it too, he sent it to me. There was a YouTube channel where they're all special effects guys, and they had Adam Savage on, and they were talking about Little Shop of Horrors, and it's a testimony to what a good actor Rick Moranis is that because in order to make Audrey look normal and when she was doing her singing bits and everything, that was filmed at super slow speed, and Rick Moranis, you know, it wasn't done with a cut screen or anything. He walked and moved his mouth, you know, mouthed the words so slowly that there's only a couple moments that you look at it and you can tell by his gait, even if you know the human gait, that it's like, okay, that's off. But other than that, it's just a testimony of what a great performance actor he was.
Was. He's not dead, is he?
Is. Well, okay, is. But in that particular one, I haven't seen him in anything in a while to say, you know.
Yeah, well, that's because he actually stopped acting because he had a family and decided he wanted to spend time with his family. I was going to say, don't tell me he's dead, because I just found out that they did the voice of the original Charlie Brown died this year. And I'm like, oh my God, 2022 just needs to stop. You're taking my entire child away from me. Oh, sorry. I'm okay now, maybe. But yeah. So the actor that originally did the voiceover work for Charlie Brown, who was, you know, had a pretty rough go of it in adulthood and, you know, had bipolar issues and everything else, apparently committed suicide a few days ago. So that's just kind of blah. Blah. All because Lucy would never let him kick the football.
Right. fucker.
I actually saw somebody tweet that he'd probably still be alive if Lucy would ever let him kick the damn football. I was like, oh shit.
Too soon.
Too soon. But yeah, so anyway.
Yeah. So you doing an AOTR tonight?
Honestly, I'm not so sure yet, because I really don't have much of a voice to speak of as we keep going. So I may try to do a short one, just because there are a couple things I want to get to. But I don't know if it'll be a whole hour, because I haven't done one in a while, so I got to put one in the...
You got a couple books. Things you want to rant about?
Pretty much, if I can. Maybe kind of a quiet rant, because I've noticed I'm getting squeaky again. But I think that's just because my congestion medicine has started to kick in, so now everything's like, please vacate the premises. Blah. that's actually a nice headline. I have to give that to Louder with Crowder. Biden drops a deucey on a hot mic.
Right. Yeah, that...
that's actually pretty good.
Okay, you know what? Deucey and Fox handled that excellently, and I loved how pissed off it made everybody else, because it just made them look more like petulant, spoiled children, because when Trump did it to them, they all had conniption fits about how it was the worst thing ever, and it was, you know, putting journalists' lives at risk, and on and on and on and on and on. And then when it happened to Deucey, and everyone's like, well, come on, Brian, Tater, you gonna say anything about this? And all he's just doing is retweeting people who say it wasn't that big of a deal. Then Deucey gets on Fox, and, you know, him and Gutfield and everybody are laughing about it, and Waters are laughing about it. And, you know, and you had the people over at Media Matters losing their minds that it's like, oh, yeah, they're really broken up about it. Well, no, they weren't. That's just it. We're making fun of you. We're making fun of your over-the-top hyperbole. Your sad sack, everything is the worst thing that's ever happened, ever, attitude, whenever somebody dares to question you, the media elites.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the difference in it was amazing. And actually, the story that I'd referenced earlier about The View was actually about that. Because when... she had mentioned that she felt like the president needed to apologize to Deucey, the more conservative of the four hosts. The rest of them all they did the whole time was, but Trump did this and but Trump did that. And she finally looked at him and said, look, he's been out of office now for over a year. Enough.
Right.
But yeah, I just, you know, the difference is night and day. And then for Acosta to get his feelings hurt about it, be like, yeah, Biden said this to him, but I still have the stripes on my back from Trump. Because Trump... Right. I'm like, oh my god, you're such a whiny bitch, dude. It's just terrible. But yeah, I mean, the way they handled it, because I have seen a little bit of it here and there, I thought it was amazing, because everybody's like, oh my god, they're taking this so hard. And I'm like, you don't realize they're actually trolling everybody that got pissed off when it was happening to them. They're just like, whatever, dude. Anyway, but yeah. So, what you watching?
It's like I talked about, I'm doing the new job thing, so I'm trying to get started in The Witcher, and I make it about 45 minutes into the episode and fall asleep. Nice. So that's just me adjusting to the new schedule and the new life, and so right now, nothing.
What you watching, my eyelids?
Yeah, my eyelids. I'm really getting the first episode of the season 2 of The Witcher down, though.
You've watched that first 45 minutes so many times, I'm surprised you don't have it memorized yet.
you want me to quote it? No.
But yeah, so, and you know, me, I've been watching Fringe, and honestly, it's just one of those things to where, you know, because I usually have a TV on or something running when I'm sleeping. So, I mean, it's something I've watched before, so I would basically just watch some episodes here and there and let it run while I was sleeping. But I got to the end, and I remember this because in the first time I tried to watch this, I started losing interest in season 4 because it started jumping around all over the place. And then season 5 was even worse, so by the end of season 4, I was just pretty much done with it. Well, this time I watched season 4 and season 5 all the way through, and for, you know, the show that always tried to, you know, bring physics into it and make sure that it made sense, they really fucked up the ending. I don't know if you've ever seen the ending of Fringe, but it makes absolutely no sense. From a time travel perspective.
And don't even get me started on time travel either. But Fringe. They're another show that did the Deus Ex thing, and
not really. They did try to keep it going for a couple more seasons, but then when they realized people had start paying attention, they started condensing everything down. So you had episodes where they were jumping back and forth in time, they were doing this, they were doing that, and then by the fifth season, they were like 20 some odd years in the future. But my issue with the fifth season is, you know, at this point, they figured out, like, the original guys, like, January through December, the original 12 observers, were actually, you know, they were supposed to be a scientific research team just observing. Well, they were actually basically getting everything down for an invasion. So in season 5, the observers actually invade. By the end of it, they figure out how to make the observers not the observers, which would fuck up the entire show, but nobody mentions that, because the whole reason that Walter wound up having to do what he did was because an observer interrupted the original experiment on the other side. But somehow,
correct,
when they fixed it, the timeline only reset to 2016. I'm like, wait a minute, that doesn't even make any sense, because if the observers never actually become the observers and become this other thing that you guys are trying to make them, that means the original 12 wouldn't have been there, the original experiment wouldn't have been interrupted, Peter wouldn't have had to go and cross universes, so, I mean, none of it makes sense at this point. And I'm just like, you guys just fucked everything up. And that's basic time travel. I mean, that's been a tenet of time travel for forever. So if you literally make the observers not the observers, your whole show goes away.
Right.
And it didn't. And I'm just like,
yeah, that's, yeah.
My head hurts. My head hurts. Because I really, really liked the show, and then they fucked the whole thing up on the very last episode. I'm like, how do you do that? You guys were like, seriously, like, there were notes about the physics and how this would work and how that would work. And then by the last episode, they threw their own rulebook out and said, we're just going to do this. I'm like, what the fuck, man? What are you doing? But yeah, I mean, it was last episode, so I guess they didn't care. I don't know. Just left a bad taste in my mouth, because now I feel like I wasted, like, 3 weeks of my life.
You did.
Because I'm mad.
When you said you were rewatching, I went, okay. And I got another friend who was rewatching The X-Files, and I said, how about Fringe? And he's like, he did that too, and he had the regret from the fifth. It's another, okay, this goes with the fifth season rule.
This is true, but I mean, for them, honestly, the fourth season wasn't that great either. But the fifth season the whole show.
I mean, I did like Anna Torv as a ginger. That was good. But, yeah. You know what? Okay, Crow, except for it was on first. Fringe predated Warehouse 13, and wasn't it a weaker version of Warehouse 13? No, it was a weaker version of The X-Files, but it had a Warehouse 13 vibe, a proto-Warehouse 13 vibe. Warehouse 13 came a couple seasons later, if I remember right.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the only reason I really still like Fringe, even though, you know, the season 5 shouldn't exist, especially the ending episode. Well, yeah, not just that, but Walter made the show. I loved Walter. Like, there were
John Noble is great in fucking everything he does.
There were a few episodes where they just turned him loose, and I know half the fucking episode was ad lib, and I know it because you could see it. Like, they would catch some of the actors' actual reactions on camera, and they left them, and I'm like, that was an ad lib. You can tell from the look on their face that was an ad lib because they were like, what the fuck just happened?
You know what was great? There was an episode of He Said, She Said where they it was a dude bro one. It was Vincent Charles and Mickey, and they said, you change a movie, you know, change a director of a movie, or that was kind of the plot. And I said, okay, do Great Outdoors, but with David Lynch as the director. And they're like, oh my god, who would play Roman? And I said, well, okay, original cast. But then I thought more about it. I said, no, John Noble would play Roman. the Dan Aykroyd character in Great Outdoors.
Oh, that would be amazing. I'm just
saying. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be amazing. But yeah, I mean, he's amazing at everything that he's been in. I mean, he's great as, you know, the character that he played there. He can actually play a bad guy and pull it off, which is rare. There are only a handful of people that I can watch go from, like, being a face to a heel, and it'd be believable. He's one of the few that can pull that off, in my opinion.
When he played the Regent of Gondor in Lord of the Rings, or in Two Towers, Return of the King, he was fantastic with that.
Yeah, and honestly, he was the only reason why I ever watched The Headless Horseman on Fox is when I found out he was on there, because that was another show that I was just like, but he's on it, so I'll watch it. It pissed me off because, you know, and granted, you know, I didn't rewatch the entire thing because it would be running when I was asleep, and I just kind of pick up wherever it left off because there was recaps, this, that, and the other when I, you know.
Previously on French.
So, I mean, I could keep up well enough, but it's just the whole thing of, you know, by the end, you just threw all the physics out the window just to finish the show, and I'm just like, I know you wanted to give them their happy ending, but you doing what you did would have made none of that possible. None of it.
Right.
Because the Peter from our quote-unquote universe would have died, the Peter from their universe would have stayed put, and nothing else would have happened the way it did. Because there was no observer interference, because September never would have interfered. And then the other interesting thing that they don't realize would be a hell of a paradox that went away, because you remember in the first episode where September always talks about the boy must live, the boy is important? Well, you don't realize until the last couple episodes of season 5, see, he was never talking about Peter. He was talking about his child. Remember the first or second episode, they find the little albino kid in the cave. Turns out he was...
He's
a genetic anomaly. He's actually an observer. In child form, and those aren't supposed to happen. But he was also an advanced form of an observer, because with the observers, the tech in their head basically overwrites their emotional center and makes a bigger part of the cognitive area, which is why they couldn't experience emotions. This kid actually could. So that's why they realized that if they sent him forward to when those time in the time frame where they were exploring that tech, they could actually make the observers completely different and they would actually have the ability to experience emotions. And I'm just thinking, great, but if you do all that, that means your entire show is undone. So when you brought the timeline back, you should have started from the beginning and showing the experiment not being ruined, and then the original dude, say, the original Peter's dad saving Peter. And then end it, because that would have been what would have actually happened. But anyway.
Yeah. They shit canned that show in the last season, and That and it just got so frantic with the hopping.
Yeah, I mean, that was another thing. It was sometimes they were just doing it just to do it, and I'm like, And the funny thing is, honestly, if they would have ended it at the very end of the original story where they showed, you know, Peter becoming part of the machine and then Peter disappearing, that would have actually been the perfect spot to end that show, because it tied everything together. Because you figured out, because they were trying to figure out how in the hell all the machine parts got back to the Mesozoic era and who the hell the first people were, and it explained all of that. And then it was like Supernatural, because Supernatural had like a 5-year Bible, and that whole thing was choreographed. It made sense. There was step by step. You knew what was going to happen. They just decided on season 5, oh, we're still making money. So then they kept going for like 8 more seasons. And then by the end, you're like, what the fuck were you doing? I think they did the same thing there, because that all really tied up towards the middle or end of season 3. And then they just went, ooh, let's do whatever we want now. And it went, what the fuck? I mean, there's like, by the end of the show, there's like 4 separate timeline jumps. And I'm like, no. Anyway.
You okay?
Yeah, not really, but I'll live. I just realized we blew through the break again. That was 2 shows.
We haven't had a break. Yeah, we haven't had a break tonight. Well, we had a break between shows, but that was about it.
Anyway. So, yeah, I can't guarantee that it's going to be a full hour, but I am going to do it off the rails, because there is a couple things that I want to get on to, and then hopefully if my voice holds out, we'll keep going. And if not, at least I came on for a little bit, so somebody can say, oh my god, Rick didn't even do his own show this week. Looking at you, Ron. Anyway, so what you got going on this week, sir? What's next for you?
I got Culture Shift tomorrow. with Brad Slager, we turn our skeptical eyes on the entertainment industry. Then I'm off until Monday when I'm back with Foo, probably, and on Foo Bar. And then later I'll be on Cyber Chill with Lou. And that was great having you on Cyber punching the buttons for Cyber Chill this week, too. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I didn't really have much I could add to that one except for the occasional fart noise. But, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. And I was, you know, I realized once we were airing, we're like, Rick hasn't seen any of the material. But anyway, no, that was good fun. And but yes, on Cyber Chill with Lou and Jeff on Monday, and then back with you on Wednesday.
Yeah, unfortunately, Lou kind of got the whole idea of actually like being able to hear the music and stuff. So she's like, maybe we should have Rick do this more often. I'm like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't. Rick does this enough. But anyway, yeah, I mean, if you guys ever need me now that I'm trying to get back into the swing of things, I can't promise I'll be able to do it every time, but if you need me, if I can make it happen, I definitely will, because it's not like you guys didn't keep things running while I was trying to figure out if I was going to check out or not, because it literally got to that point for a while. But yeah, so anyway, well, we should probably get out of here, because you got to get up early.
Okay. And yep. And, you know.
I don't want to keep
you. And you've got a show to do.
Don't want to keep you talking while much you longer. Can. Yeah, you know, while I still have a voice, because if we keep talking, it probably won't last much longer.
And then, if you completely lose your voice, then Stacey will blame me, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to do that either. She already wasn't real happy with me today this morning when I texted her and said there was no way I was going to be able to do the show. She was like, I can't help it. Things got in the way. Don't judge me. But then she judged me anyway. Not really, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's do this.
All right, let's get out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you hanging out for the late, late shift, I'll be back in just a minute. For those of you that have to leave us, you suck! No, I'm just playing. But yeah, off the rails, back in just a minute. Ordy's going to hit the other side of the chat. Maybe Horgo inspect his eyelids for holes, yep. Whichever one he deems appropriate.
No, I'm going to be on the other side of the chat.
And then we'll be back in just a few minutes with just me. Ranting and yelling for as long as I got a voice, because there's a lot I want to talk about. Haven't done one of these in a while. See you guys on the other side of the break. We're off the rails. Well, I guess there will eventually be a break, but just hang out for a minute. Bye!